Okay, so today I just want to just look a wee bit at Joshua chapter 1, just a couple of things. Now, last week we had nine points. Lord and Lane and I were talking today, I've got two. So you'll be glad to hear that it's not nine, it's two. So I just want to look at a couple of things about how when God calls us into things, that he doesn't just leave us to it, he prepares us for what he wants us and what he's called us to do. And then the second thing we're going to look at is how that when God calls us, that he's with us through the entirety of the journey that we're on with him. Okay, does that sound okay? Does that sound okay? I'm just going to keep asking questions until I actually know you're in the room. Okay, so let's read Joshua chapter 1, first 9 verses, and it says this. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you, Joshua, to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River and into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south, to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Amen. So, before I kind of get into these 2 points, so there was a verse popped out to me, or a phrase, as I was looking through these verses. And it's in verse 8, Joshua 1, verse 8, it says, God says to Joshua, he talks about studying the book. So I think we can interpret that in our context, so we're talking about the Word of God, the Bible, that it should be, that he should meditate on it day and night and obey everything that's written in it. And then God says, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. You know, when God gives us a promise, there's always a condition attached to it. So if we are obedient to God and we are meditating on his word, then God says that we will prosper and succeed in all you do. And I was thinking, like, what is success? When we say we're going to succeed at something, what does that mean? Because success is a strange thing. It's quite kind of subjective, isn't it? You know, one person's success could be someone else's failure. And I think it's probably a difficult word to define, certainly in these days, what the word success actually means. You know, at one time or another, I think everyone's asked the question, have I been successful in what I'm doing in my life? Or am I doing well? You know, we do that at work, don't we? We want to know if we're doing well. We want to hear, have we been a success? And then if we come to the conclusion that we've not been successful, our next question would be, what am I doing wrong? What do I need to change? What do I need to get better at? Well, if you go back to the 12 disciples that Jesus chose, one of them had become a very successful person financially. One of his disciples, it says, he was also successful politically. He had a connection with the disciples, but he also had good contact, good connections with secular leaders of the day. And he went on to become the treasurer, the money keeper for the disciples. He held all the money for the disciples and Jesus as they traveled around doing Jesus' ministry. And his name was Judas Iscariot, right? We know him, yeah? He was the one that betrayed Jesus. And then there was another disciple who appeared to be not so successful. This disciple denied Jesus 3 times, yeah? We know him. He was, when Jesus was arrested, he denied that he even knew Jesus, because he was in fear for his own life. And when things got tough, this guy was probably not the person you wanted to be around because he had a track record of stepping back and stepping away. And once, when things got into a heated discussion, he pulled a sword on a soldier and cut his ear off. So he's not even good in a crisis. And yet, this guy, who we would probably deem as not being a success in life, was not only seen as a disciple, but he became the leader of the disciples. And Jesus told this guy that it was him and the kind of faith that he had that he would use to build his church on. And his name was Peter, and he's considered to be one of the most honored men in history. For all of his financial success and political influence, Judas was a crook. I mean, I was thinking we would never consider naming one of our children Judas, would we? I hope there's no Judases in the room. But it's just one of those names, you wouldn't consider it. But here's the thing, you know, we see in our times, we've maybe been part of this ourselves, this continued chase after the kind of successes that Judas went after. Seeking out financial wealth, pursuing power, when wanting to be recognized in the hope that we can discover that elusive dream that we call success. So what is success then? Well, the Bible tells us that true success is not what the world thinks of you, and it's not about what you've done or what you have achieved. True success comes from what God thinks of you and what you've done for him and with him. And as we move into the start of the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua is a book about new beginnings. God's people were starting over. And, you know, I don't know how long we're going to be saying this, but how often do we wake up in these days and think, like, this is us starting again, there's a new thing happening. We're starting again, things are at a fresh start. And we did that a couple of weeks ago, coming back here to meet in person. But do you know, we all need a fresh start from time to time, don't we? There's times we have in our lives we just need to draw the line and put the past back in the past where it belongs and start walking towards and living in the new future that Jesus has got for us. I think last week I said about the fact that we are actually designed to be front-facing, right? All our senses face forward, our eyes face the front. So I believe that's how we're created. Our creative purpose is to move forward and to move towards Jesus. And that always, if you're a believer in Jesus, then your best days are always in front of you. So anyway, the book of Joshua opens with these words. So it says this, first two verses. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you, Joshua, to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. So it's clear here when you read these words that God has put a calling in Joshua's life. When we talk about a calling, sometimes it can seem a bit mysterious. But basically, it's when if God puts a call in your life, that is the time when you know that God has told you to do something. That could be a small thing, it could be a one-time thing, it could be a life's work. But when God calls us, we know that's when he's telling us to do something. But God didn't just say to Joshua, this is what you're going to do. He had spent years preparing Joshua for this thing that he was calling him into. And it might seem that Joshua's call to replace Moses was quite a sudden thing because it was kind of a spontaneous thing, it appears, because Moses died and then Joshua gets appointed into Moses' position. But the truth is that God spent many years preparing Joshua to become a leader. Joshua was born as a slave, as an Israelite slave in Egypt. And we know from reading about him that he was the oldest son of a man named Nun. I guess there's nobody calling their kids Nun. Anyway, you can't call your kid Nun because they'll end up with bad habits. Think about that. Okay, I'll leave that one. That's for free. That one's for free. Okay, So, but having been the firstborn, right, the oldest son, meant that on the night of the Passover, okay, we've not got time to talk about what that is, but the night of the Passover, his life was in danger because Pharaoh, who was the leader of Egypt, had instructed that all of the firstborn males in families would be killed. So his family would have applied the blood to the doorpost, as we're instructed, so that the angel of death would pass over their home. So Joshua was actually a success of that. He survived, he lived on because of that. And if you don't know the story of the Passover, you can find it in Exodus chapter 12. And actually, I wanted to say as I was doing this, if you don't own a Bible, like we've got Bibles, and if you want a Bible, then I will give you a Bible for free this morning. So we've got a good few with us today. So if you want to read, you know, more of the background of these stories, come and get me at the end and I'll give you a Bible. But you can read about the story of the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. So Joshua was being protected early in his life, I believe, because when God calls, when God has a plan to call you into something, he also prepares you. And as he did with Joshua, he also protects you. We first meet Joshua in the book of Exodus, where he's handpicked by Moses to lead the Israelite army into battle. And next, he goes with Moses to the mountain when the Ten Commandments were given. So we can see from this that he was clearly becoming like a personal assistant to Moses, and that God was preparing him by being close to the action, if you like, close to what Moses was doing throughout the years. And in the book of Numbers, Joshua, there's a story of where the Israelites send 12 spies into Canaan, which is the promised land, the land that God had promised them, and Joshua's one of those 12. So he's one of the guys that go in to spy out and do a recce on the promised land. And you can find that story in Numbers chapter 13. And this story of the spies, the 12 spies going into the promised land, they come back to the Israelite people and report what the land looks like, this land that God has promised them. And they describe it as a land flowing with milk and honey, which really means like it was amazing. It was full of like sort of fruit and crops, and it was a healthy land. And to prove how amazing it was, these guys, they cut a branch off of a grapevine. It was a single cluster of grapes, and it was so huge that it took two of them to carry it back to the Israelite camp. So this wasn't just an ordinary piece of land. This was a land so fruitful that even the grapes grew in vines so big it took two people to carry them. But they also, alongside that positive report, they also reported that the people who lived there were very powerful. And they were scared because if there was a powerful people, then they were going to have to conquer that land. And when they looked at the people, they thought, there's no way we can beat these guys. They said that the cities there were large and well-protected, and they said that all the people they saw there were of great size, right? So Numbers 13, it says, verse 32, it says, all the people we saw were huge. That's what they came back to say. These people are huge. We even saw giants there. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. But of the 12 who went out to check this new land that God had promised, only two of them said that recommended that the Israelites should in fact move in to the promised land. And they were called Caleb and our friend today, Joshua. So they had a majority report of 10 who said, no, we can't go there. We're going to get overpowered by these giants. And then only two, there's a minority report of two who said, no, we should do and go where God has told us to go. So what did the Israelite people do when they heard these reports coming back? Well, unfortunately, it's not a super spiritual story in that sense, because the people went with the majority. They went with the fear and the doubt that God could give them the strength and ability to conquer this land. And as a result of that, from where their camp was at that point, it should have taken them 11 days to get to Canaan, to this promised land, and instead it became a journey of 40 years of wandering around in circles in the wilderness until they got there. And we could talk about how, you know, it's important to hear God and say yes to God when you hear his voice. And that is true. But I think one of the saddest things about this story is that because this 11-day journey took 40 years, that an entire generation of people didn't get to enter the promised land because they died off while they were still wandering around in the wilderness. So what is it that keeps us moving and or keeps us from moving into the promises that God has for us? What is it that keeps you from moving into the promises that God has for you? What is it that keeps you from claiming everything that God has for you? What is it that causes you to shrink back like the Israelites did instead of moving forward? All of us face obstacles in life, right? We know that. We expect it. We all face challenges. But many times, God wants to take that challenge, that giant, and smash it down to the ground and make it into a stepping stone to be used for you to get to your promised land. So if God calls you to do something and you're doubting that you're capable of doing it, or you think it looks too difficult, or the circumstances practically or financially, whatever, would tell you that it's a no-go, it can't be done, I want to encourage you that if God calls you to do something, he will prepare you for it and he will make a way. And not only that, God promises that he will be with you through the entire journey that he sets you off on. Joshua, now after the death of Moses and then being appointed as a leader of the people, he now faced the greatest challenge of his life. And as we know, someone said that with great leadership comes great responsibility. So if you look at what's happening here, Moses is now gone from the scene. He is dead. He is no more. So his time has passed. And now the reality really sets in for Joshua. He has to step up to the plate and become the leader. And Moses' shoes were big shoes to fill. You know, this is the guy who went up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments from God. This is a guy who met God in person, pretty much, when he was at the burning bush. So he had big shoes to fill, or probably big sandals to fill. But I wonder what Joshua was thinking when God said, I want you now to lead the people. I wonder if he was thinking, will I be able to handle this responsibility? What if I lead and no one follows? You know, the first definition of a leader is that you're only a leader if someone's following you. You know, so if you're a leader, you've got to keep looking over your shoulder to check that people are coming with you. Because if you're on your own, you're not a leader. You're a lone ranger. But what if I lead and no one follows? And worst of all, you'll be thinking, what if I step into this role and I'm a failure? What if I can't do what Moses did? What if I can't succeed at what I've been called to do? I think Joshua was thinking all those things because he's a man, he's a person. We all have those doubts and fears. But the Lord spoke to Joshua with these words in Joshua 1, verse 3. God says this to Joshua, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. And he goes to describe where that land is. And he says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you nor abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. We serve a God who knows every fear, every doubt, and every thought that we have. So if you're having doubts of any kind about what God is calling you to, about where you're leading into, like, these aren't hidden from God. He knows what goes on in your mind, and he expects us to doubt, and he expects us to fear, because he knows that we're not perfect. But because God knows all our fears and doubts, He also knows exactly what we need. And what Joshua needed more than anything else at this point was reassurance. Now, God had called him into something, and then God was then giving him layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of encouragement, and you go for it, my man. You're my guy. Keep moving in there. He needed confidence that he could fulfill his calling. And just as a quick aside, one of the reasons that it's important that we meet together as a community of God's people is for encouragement. Like, don't underestimate it. Don't think it's just a fluffy thing that we're just rubbing each other's back and saying we're all, oh, you're great, I'm great. You know, I am great and you are great, by the way. But you know, it's more than that. It's like, this is like, you know, I don't think Lorraine and I would be leading this church now if we didn't have so much encouragement from people. People telling us when it's been difficult, guys, just keep going, keep pressing in. This is what you're called to. Look what God's done in the past. Look what he's going to do going ahead. You know, it's important that we're here and that we're building up each other and encouraging each other, because we're on the same side, right? We're in this for the same thing, aren't we? Don't we want to see the kingdom of God sweep into this town and beyond and see people in large numbers saying yes to Jesus and transforming the culture and the atmosphere around our town? We want that, don't we? How much do you want it? More than that, I hope. We want it. We want that, right? We want it. We want it, and we're all moving in the same direction. And it's important in these things that we are all facing the same way in that, that whatever kind of different types of things we're doing, that our general direction, our main direction is towards seeing men, women, families come into knowledge of Jesus, give their lives to him, and then watch the transformations the kingdom of God sweeps through our town and our area. That's what I want. That's why this church exists. Lorraine and I, when we planted this church, or before, in fact, long before, like, we felt inadequate. When we realized that when the penny dropped, the day that we actually realized we've started this thing and no one else is coming to take it over, it's actually us. So, in fact, I would tell that story. There's a wee cliffhanger. If you come to Connect Party, we'll tell you a wee bit about that story this afternoon. But we felt really inadequate. And we constantly, like, went back to God for reassurance. You know, if his word says, I will never leave you, I will never abandon you, be strong, be courageous, press on, keep going, then if we can do it, you can do it. Joshua did it. Moses did it. And we know for sure that Jesus did it. Think about it this way. God calls you to do something. Your first question might be, do I have a track record in this thing? That was my question when I realized that God wanted us to lead a church. But actually, I was asking the wrong question. The question I should have been asking is, does God have a track record of using people like me? Not, do I have a track record of doing this? And God has done this before. So when Moses is saying, God, really, me? You want me to do this? Like, is this possible? And God's saying, yeah, I did it before. I did it with Moses. And when you think about that, Joshua was there firsthand when Moses was doing his stuff for God. This is Moses. Joshua would have been thinking, Moses, that's the guy that parted the Red Sea. That's the guy that God, you met on the mountain and trusted them with the Ten Commandments. It's that Moses, right? And God's going, yep, that's him. It's him. And what did he say at the beginning? Hang on a wee second. He said, I promise you what I promised Moses. You see, you don't need a track record because God's got the track record. If you think you're not qualified, you're probably overqualified. That's what qualifies you, is to know that you're not qualified, because God is qualified. God has the track record. And I'm certain, like I said, that Joshua was thinking that, I don't know if I can lead like Moses. And God says, you know what? I understand what you're saying. I get your doubts and fears. But actually, what I've got planned for you is even better and greater than what Moses did. because you're going to take my people into the land that I promised them. You're going to be the guy who's going to fulfill the promise that I gave to my people. Joshua must have felt overwhelmed. And he must have felt overwhelmed, I think, because he had so many reasons to say that I can't do this. He actually had about 2 million reasons to doubt himself, because if you go to the book of Numbers in chapter 1, there's like a census of the Israelite people, and it says that the number of people that Joshua would lead would be around 2 million, I think, roughly that. So when God called Joshua, it was to lead. It wasn't like taking a school trip to Canaan. It wasn't just a small group of kids or a small group of people to go and visit somewhere. This was a group of people whose number were the population of Glasgow plus Edinburgh times two. Right? This is a lot of people. This is no small thing. It was 11 times the size of the population of the Falkirk Council area. So they reckon if you add all the numbers from the census in the book of Numbers, it comes to about 1.8 to 2 million people. So it was no small task. And also, this people that he was leading also had zero experience of where God was taking them. They had never done this before. Israel, at this point, had never really been in a battle. Their leader, Moses, has died. They've had a look at this promised land, and the people that they're going to conquer are giants. And also, the people that Joshua was leading had never had their own home. They'd never had their own land. They were nomadic. They were wandering from place to place. They didn't own anything. They had nothing. And suddenly, God dangles the keys to this amazing land, this amazing country in front of them and said, "This is for you. This is your inheritance." God, or the word inheritance spoken by God somewhere between 50 and 60 times in the book of Joshua. God tells this nation of people who had never had a home, five times God told them to go and possess the land. Go and do something incredible that you have never done before. But don't worry, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to abandon you. And by the way, I've done this stuff a few times. I know what I'm doing. And you know what? Eventually, they did it. They marched forward to claim their promised land. So let me ask you a question. Has God called you to do something and you've stepped back from doing it by saying, "I can't, I don't have experience, it's too hard, that's not my thing"? Well, maybe it's time for you to claim your inheritance. In Ephesians 1, it says this. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." The tense of that word is that God has blessed us. This is an important verse in the Bible because it tells us that God has already done what he says he's going to do. God has blessed us. Not that he will bless us, not that he might bless us, not that someday he could possibly maybe bless us. It says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. If you have given your life to Jesus, if you belong to him, then that day that you gave your life to Jesus is the day that you got access to every spiritual blessing that is available. If you belong to Jesus, you have everything you need to be and do everything that God calls you to be and do. When God showed the Israelites the land that he'd promised them, he gave them a choice. He didn't force them in. They made a choice. They said, God said you can have this wilderness or you can have this promised land. But they said, I'll take the wilderness. Because they were more comfortable with what they knew, and it was more fear for them stepping into the unknown. And sadly, when we choose the wilderness, we're actually declaring ourselves to be weak, and to declare that we'll always be weak. We'll be in this difficult, harsh environment, but do you know what? I'm going to stay there, and I think we do that sometimes because it's what we know. So wilderness people say, I'm weak and I'll stay weak. But promised land people say, I'm weak, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wilderness people say, life is tough. It's too difficult. I can't make it. Promised land people say, life is tough, but God will get me through. He will never leave me. He will never abandon me. Wilderness people say, look what happened to me. Look at my past. Look at how I grew up. Look at where I lived. I'm a product of my environment. I'm a victim of where I've came from. But promised land, people say it doesn't matter, that the past is the past. They say, I am a new creation in Christ. I'm a victor, not a victim. We, I believe, have been in a wilderness, certainly for the past 18 months, but we might have been in a wilderness before that. And God has got so much that he wants us to do. And my heart this morning for all of you guys and for myself is that we would say yes to what God is calling us into. That we wouldn't just settle for what we know. Our biggest challenge coming back like this from being online all those months was not to just go back and set up where we left off. We kind of did, but you know what I mean? Like it wasn't the same. You know, we had, everything had been destructured, if that's a word. I don't even know if that's a word. But it had been taken apart. And we had to rebuild from the start again. And there'll be some things that we will do the same, but many things we'll do differently. And we're not rushing either. We believe that there's a pace that God wants us to go at. But actually, I think that for us, if we were to remain in our wilderness as a church, as Falkirk Vineyard, we'd have come back here and just set everything up as it was before. But I think our new challenge is to kind of restart and replant again. And is that the song that Ryan led us in this morning about coming back to the heart of worship? It's all about you, Jesus. You know, we spoke about his presence. We spoke about his presence. What's the point of having a church, having an organization, if the presence of God isn't at the center of it all? Actually, it's the most futile thing on the planet if we do that. You know, we want the Holy Spirit with us at all times, don't we? We want to know that he's here. You know, and we want this to be a place where people can meet Jesus. And I don't know all of you that are sitting in the room this morning, but if you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never given your life to him, then he has got promise after promise for you. He's got a purpose for your life. And I believe that you're here today not by accident or not by some twist of fate, but God has brought you into a space here today where you have an opportunity to say yes to him. And maybe you are a believer, maybe you know Jesus, but you know that you're facing something. There's a line, there's a cliff edge, there's something that you need to kind of step over or step into that is uncomfortable. It might not be your first choice thing, but you know there's something there that's kind of saying, "I need to do this," and all those fears and inadequacies that I've spoke about are hanging around like a bad smell. But God is saying to you this morning, be strong and be courageous. I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. There might be giants there that you think you can't overcome. But God's saying, he's got the track record. I can do it. Why don't we stand? One of the things I'm conscious that we need to get used to doing again is praying for each other. I feel I've kind of lost. This isn't a criticism, it's an observation. I feel it as well. But, you know, we would come together like this on a Sunday morning and it would be easy for us to kind of step in and pray for each other. And I do kind of sense that we've kind of lost that. Maybe it's just the habit of it. But I want us to get back into it and I want us to really start that today. And I want us to be bold and admitting when God has spoken to us in this context. And sometimes it's just we need to acknowledge it. We need to acknowledge it in front of someone else and allow a friend, a brother and sister, you know, one of our family members here to speak with us and pray over us and encourage us in that moment. So I want us to do that. So I'm just going to two questions. First one is, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't made that commitment to follow him, and you might be looking at it thinking, I don't even know what that means. But I've met many people, or I have been with many people who don't know what they're doing when they say yes to Jesus, but they do know that they've got to do it. You know, we don't arrive at Jesus, the finished article. We arrive with a yes. We arrive with a knowing that we need him. So if that's you this morning, then I just want you to just acknowledge that. If you want to say yes to Jesus, if you want to commit your life to him, then I'm just going to ask you just to raise your hand, and then we're going to pray with you. We're going to do it together. And welcome you into the family of God. Okay, if there is anyone got the hand up, I need you to shoot it right up in the air because I'm at the front and I'm small, looking at tall people. Okay. Yeah, we'll work on that. Okay. I really sense, so there are a number of us who are fearful or confused or doubtful about what God has for us next. And if that's you this morning, I really want like you to get some prayer and encouragement around that this morning. We want to invite the Holy Spirit to speak into your life today. And this isn't about making an exhibition of people. This is about loving people. This is about us loving each other and serving each other well. So if that's you this morning, why don't you do the same thing? We'll get you to raise your hand, and we're not going to bring you to the front. We do that sometimes, but today's not that day. Just want you to put your hand up, and then we're just going to pray with you where you are. So if that's you, stick your hand up. Just to say, yes, I want to be encouraged. Okay, anyone else? Don't not do this because you're scared of putting your hand up and people seeing that you might be a bit fearful. Okay, so we've got these two guys here. So those of you around about, Lorraine, maybe you could just kind of coordinate that for me. Just put a hand on their shoulder, pray into their lives. If God gives you a word for them, then speak it over them. And let's just and do it out loud. I just love hearing the sound of prayer in the room like this. Cool. Anyone else? Anyone scared to put their hand up? Put your hand up. No. That funny, Georgia. You like that one? I know. I'm good. Okay. Guys, let me just pray a blessing. We'll let you get your kids. Remember, we have our Connect party this afternoon, so it starts at 1:30 at our house. Come and grab me before you go if you'd like to come to that. Okay, Father, we just love you. And Lord, I love being in your presence, and I love being with this community of people. God, I bless them. And God, as you said to Joshua, you would bless him as you bless Moses. God, I pray, would you bless us as you bless Moses? Would you bless my friends here, Lord, the way that you've blessed me? And God, would you reveal the heart behind your promises to each one of us? That you are for us, you're not against us, that you are with us through all. You are not in the business of abandonment. You're not in the business of leaving people behind. You're in the business of bringing people with you into your promises. So God, I just speak that blessing over these people today, Father. Give us a knowing of who you are. Give us confidence in who you are. And may Jesus reign in your life every day, 24/7. May God give you boldness and courage to say yes in every opportunity. Amen.